Now let's go to another subject that is also the subject of betting with some of the sports betting agencies, and that is federal politics. And right now it would appear that the betting is that the current Prime Minister, Malcolm Turnbull, will not be the Prime Minister, certainly by the time of the next federal election. In fact, the person who might make significant influence over who is not only the Queensland Premier at the next state election, perhaps potentially even the West Australian Premier, but also the Prime Minister of Australia, is the leader of One Nation. That is Pauline Hanson. Senator Hanson, many thanks for your time.
Thank you, Ross. Good afternoon.
Okay, George Christensen. Let's go to George Christensen in his Queensland seat. He already acknowledges in the seat of Dawson that there is a groundswell of support for One Nation. And he basically says that the polling in the electorate of Dawson did not come as any surprise of him, where it suggested One Nation might have 30% support. I understand that many people in my region, in places like Mackay, the Whitsundays, Bowen, the Burdekin and Townsville, have lost faith in the ability of major parties to resolve the issues that matter most to them. They want action on issues that may affect regional Queensland. In other words, even the sitting member is acknowledging the fact that parties, major parties that he belongs to, cannot actually deliver outcomes in country areas.
That's correct, Ross, and I'm hearing that all the time. I've just done a big hay run with the Burra and Buttock hay run from Griffiths all the way up through Longreach out to Muttaburra, and I've just come back through your Poonani, just landed in Brisbane. Look, the sheer frustration of people in rural and regional areas, they feel forgotten. They feel that money's not going out there. The towns are dying. Small businesses are shutting down. The rising cost of electricity. I was in a hotel the other day doing a speech up at Longreach. It showed me their bill, $17,500 for the bill for the quarter.
It's unbelievable.
Now, I saw another hotel next door, went to see them. They said their last bill was $19,000. So that's about the average what it's costing. They can't afford it. They haven't got the work on there. The tourism has died back as well. And, of course, you've only got a certain few months of the year that they do get the tourists through. But, of course, the towns are dying. People aren't travelling out there anymore.
There's a really interesting piece this morning, Pauline, in The Australian, talking about the divide that's actually coming between rural Australia and also the cities in Australia, particularly the eastern coast cities where house prices have moved. And as a result, people are not only feeling disenfranchised, but poorer in many rural areas of Australia right now. And really many people in the cities, and perhaps even many city-based politicians, do not understand the genuine feeling, the abject feeling of hurt and almost abandonment that they feel right now.
That's exactly right. You see, the man on the land, they're doing it damn tough, and it's become a way of life for them. They're not wanting, you know, their huge amounts of money, so it's become a way of life, but that's even being stripped away from them. They feel they're getting no assistance from the government. What we have failed to do is allow for the water resources on these properties. You know, the cost of electricity, if you go up North Queensland, you only have one electricity provider. They're doing it so tough, and they're telling their kids, you know, these people have been on the land for a long time. They're telling kids, get off the land. There's no future here for you. So they're sending them to the cities actually to get out of it.
But here's the interesting thing, Pauline. When you go to, say, for example, the issue of energy, and it's become a crisis in Australia, there's no doubt. There's been no new generation really built in Australia other than wind and solar over the past 15 years or so. Is it really a case where now Australia has got to look at coal? I mean, the government says that Australia has got to look at coal and try and find clean coal solutions. Something's got to be done, because if it's not, those bills are going to keep on going higher, and the risk of brownouts or blackouts are going to become even greater.
It is, Ross, and the stupid part about it, we went and signed the Paris agreements. It is not in our best interest. We are not, the emissions that we put out is nothing compared to other countries around the world. We don't need to be the leaders of the world. And in doing so, we are destroying our industries, our manufacturing here. People will go overseas, the rising cost of electricity, people can't afford it, so you're going to shut down more industries. And we need those to give that employment. We can't keep pushing kids on to further education to get these degrees. At the end of the day, you have a degree, but you can't. There's no jobs. So we're losing the tradespeople. This is where I want to actually start implementing and getting more tradesmen and women into those positions. I've spoken to Prime Minister about an apprenticeship scheme that I have. We need to actually then address the 457 visa holders. We have them coming in the country here when we don't need them, because we've got Australians wanting to take up these jobs. This Case in point is I've written to Dutton and the Prime Minister with regards to marine engineers. We've got 148 waiting for work, yet they cannot get jobs on our ships because the 457 visa holders. That's only one profession. They are reluctant to do anything about it, and for life of me, I cannot understand. We can turn it around, and I believe that we can, if the government is prepared for the right policies. Look, I fought about the land acquisition for the Singaporeans. You know, I had talked to Malcolm Turnbull and explained to him why he could not destroy the farming sector. That would have affected about 50 to 60 farming families. George Christensen is frustrated as well, as I've been fighting with Wilma for the cane growers up there.
Well, as you know, Pauline, on this program, when Wilma knocked back that discussion they were supposed to be having with the Agriculture Minister, Deputy Prime Minister Barnaby Joyce, and basically turned him down for the meeting because they said they had other things they tried to sort out because there was a bit of PR heat on them at the time. I mean, we laid that out to people to explain what was taking place and the fact that the sugar farmers had no choice. But the interesting side about this, I just want to go to you personally. I mean, you came into politics as a maverick. Obviously, in many ways, you were hounded out of politics the first time around. You've come back here a far more organised person and somebody who has garnered significant support. You know, mainstream support is coming to you now. How do you feel comfortable? Do you feel comfortable having been a maverick senator in the first place, now organising a party around you? How do you feel in that role yourself?
I'm feeling great. I have got 20 years of experience behind me. I'm very politically astute these days. I know about political strategy. I can organise a team around me. I'm actually, I can take the role. I can make decisions. There's no problems about that.
Because you'd be aware that there are some people out there, Pauline, even now, that say, don't worry, with some of the choice of the candidates and all that type of thing, this thing could all implode before the next election. Now, I mean, that's the thing that some people still say even now. But it seems to me that you're a lot more astute than what you were first time around.
Ross, you got those people who want to jump on board, and use my name. It's not going to happen. I've got rid of those people. No, they are not going to use my nation. I've worked for 18 years this to get back on the floor of Parliament to give people a voice. There's no way in the wide world am I going to have people in here who have their own agenda. So I've actually got rid of a few candidates, and I will get rid of more if I see that's the point. It's too important to me. People are screaming out there for someone to do something. That's why they're frustrated with Malcolm Turnbull, because he won't make the decisions and show that leadership that they're screaming out for. People may not always agree with everything that you say and do, but the whole fact, they want strong leadership, that you are prepared to do something. And I think that's why Donald Trump is just powering ahead over there. And Donald Trump talks, you know, it's all about Australia. And that's what Malcolm Turnbull has failed to do. He's not out there fighting for the Aussies, those battlers, the ones that are homeless, the people that are living in their cars. You've got families living in their cars. Yet we bring in refugees from overseas who are given, you know, housing, jobs, cars, everything's done for them. But we're not looking after our own.
And here's the interesting part about this, Pauline, if I can just jump in there and say, of course, the thing right now is you've got the Prime Minister who is fighting with Tony Abbott. That's pretty clear. That is obvious to everybody. You've got Dutton, who's sitting there, as well as you mentioned, who might be actually have aspirations of his own. But then the interesting side of your campaign right now is you're able to gain support from both working people, in other words, traditional Labor voters, from disenfranchised coalition voters, from the National Party. You've got a very broad church of people who are attracted to your message.
That is right, because people don't even like Bill Shorten as a leader, and that's clear in the polls. And Labor voters are coming across to One Nation. I see it all the time, Ross. When I'm, doesn't matter where I am, even in the cities now. Cities was never my area. The cities now are actually coming towards One Nation. Even in the western suburbs of Sydney, we're actually picking up so much support in the western suburbs of Sydney. So, and Melbourne. Melbourne was once a state that was never One Nation support. We're getting so many people coming out of Melbourne saying, will you please do something about it, because they're in a hell of a mess down there. So it's happening all across the country. So you ask yourself why. What is the big problem about it? Cost of living, escalating prices, no job security. You're throwing them a scrap heap of about 50. The kids, there is so much problem with drugs, with ICE. The people are frightened for the future of the kids and the grandkids. They just don't feel that the politicians have connection with the people. I do have policies. If people say that I haven't got the answers, well, they're wrong. I do have answers, and a lot of things I've spoken as Prime Minister about, but he's frightened to actually to take up the, you know, the, take up the banner and run with it because he's in fear. But
what's he in fear of, Pauline? What is he in fear of? Why will he not take those things up? What's he in fear of?
I think he's just worried about the backlash that he might get, and he's not. If he really listened to what the people wanted and understood, then he would actually, and then he should make the move to do it. This is why you got those on the right, the Conservatives. See, the Conservatives feel that they've been forgotten. Those National Party voters, they're the men on the land. They expect someone to protect their agricultural industry, not foreign ownership. They expect to be looked after. They feel forgotten. And that's why the Nationals have losing their votes, because they've aligned too much with the Liberal Party.
I tell you what, Pauline, I'm going to have to leave it there, but I really appreciate your time in the program. I mean, really what you've heard there is the reason why the government right now is failing to cut through, especially when you've got leaders divided. And then the Labor Party also is losing some of its base to One Nation and Pauline Hanson. And remember on this program, Campbell Newman, the Queensland Premier, said that Pauline Hanson in that state, he thinks, could have as much as 29% support and will dictate who ultimately becomes the next Premier of Queensland. Pauline Hanson, as always, we appreciate your time.
Thanks, Ross. Bye.